Welcome to Native America Calling. From Isleta Pueblo in New Mexico, I'm Tara Gatewood. Because the COVID-19 pandemic put a pause on art markets and even closed some brick-and-mortar shops, online shopping is the way to go this year. For some Native creators, online retail is how they've made their business flourish. Others are learning to pivot to new skills and methods. And some entrepreneurs are building new online shopping spaces specifically for Native sellers as alternatives to online giants. We'll hear about some of them right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. This year's Indigenous Day of Mourning in Plymouth, Massachusetts, focused on the Land Back Movement. Melinda Tuhus reports.
This was the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the Pilgrims and the 50th anniversary of the Day of Mourning, organized every year by the United American Indians of New England. The co-leader of the group, Matoe Monroe, talked about the burgeoning Land Back Movement.
There are ways to start the process of decolonizing the lands and to address climate collapse right now. Take all of the land that's currently being mismanaged by all the settler governments, such as the national parks or the Amazon rainforest, and let Indigenous nations manage that land. That would mean the restoration of millions of acres of our lands to us. It would also mean the end of the desecration of many sacred sites, such as the Black Hills or Sacred Oak Flat.
She also called for ensuring that no projects go through any Indigenous nation's land without free, prior, and informed consent, and for canceling all the leases, pipelines, mining, and corporate contracts, and letting Indigenous people decide which developments should continue and which should not. Due to the pandemic, a somewhat smaller crowd than usual gathered, but it was also streamed online for the first time, enabling many more people to participate. Melinda Tuhus, National Native News.
State regulators have approved a final permit for an oil pipeline in northern Minnesota. As Mike Moen reports, tribes and environmental groups are fighting the project, vowing not to give up.
Canadian firm Enbridge Energy says its Line 3 pipeline is in dire need of a safer replacement and for years has sought approval from the state in a closely watched process. Monday's action from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency puts the project on the ramp toward breaking ground. Winona LaDuc, a Native American activist with the group Honor the Earth, says apart from the environmental harm, construction will start in areas where residents are vulnerable to COVID.
The 4,200 workers that are coming in largely from out of state into northern communities that have very few health facilities.
Last week, two tribes requested that another state agency stay its approval while a legal challenge plays out in an appeals court. Supporters of the Line 3 project say it will bring much-needed work to a hard-hit region in the economic crisis and that it received a lengthy review so it can meet environmental standards. However, LaDuc and other opponents say the review process was incomplete and was based on unreliable information. Meanwhile, she says there are better ways to put individuals in this field to work.
You know, you've got city after city with crumbling infrastructure in this country. Those are the pipes we need. And we're going to need more of them because of climate change.
As for the environmental concerns, opponents say the $2.6 billion project will add scores of new waterways to a path of potential pipeline spills and negatively affect wild rice beds.
That was Mike Moen reporting. Two tribes and U.S. attorneys in Oklahoma have launched a pilot project to address missing and murdered Indigenous persons cases. The project, launched last week with the Muscogee Creek and Cherokee Nations, seeks to establish a collaborative response for tribal governments, law enforcement, and other partners. Oklahoma's U.S. attorneys are first to launch the project. Five other U.S. attorneys' offices are slated to do the same. The Justice Department and other federal agencies are developing a draft for a tribal community response plan nationally, which will include guidelines addressing response to cases, law enforcement, victim services, community outreach, and public communications. U.S. attorneys in Oklahoma say the pilot project is a step in achieving justice for missing and murdered Native Americans. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by AARP, fighting to protect 50-plus voters, making sure they're heard on issues like Social Security and Medicare, prescription drug prices, and ensuring that 50-plus Americans can vote safely from home or in person. More information at aarp.org. Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Holiday shopping is looking very different this year. The COVID-19 pandemic is pushing shoppers away from malls and other places that they usually go. That means Native artists and creators have fewer chances to reach the buying public in person. Online shopping is often dominated by big names like Amazon, where a sea of vendors are competing for people's business. In response, there are efforts to support struggling Native artists and entrepreneurs. Some Native individuals are getting into the online game, and there are also online spaces that are outlets for a collection of Native sellers. And coming up, we'll hear from Native entrepreneurs who know a thing or two about online retail marketing. And business owners and shoppers, we want to hear from you too. What kind of environment has taking things online created for you and your needs? Give us a call and join our discussion today. We are at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us today from Winters, California is Molly Rowe. And she is a spokesperson and account manager for Sweetgrass Trading Company. And she is a member of the Iowa Tribe of Kansas and Nebraska. Molly, my pleasure to have you here with us. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And so, Molly, tell us a little bit about Sweetgrass Trading Company. How does it work?
Sure. So we are an online store. We are owned by Ho-Chunk Inc., which is the Economic Development Corporation for the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska. We offer non-perishable food, gifts, and wellness items that we source from tribes and tribal entities across the United States.
And so connecting goods this way, what kind of opportunity do you feel it's bringing to people who might not otherwise have that opportunity to have such a widespread of audience?
Sure. So one of the things that whenever I ask our vendors what value they see in working with us, it's almost always the answer I get is we help connect them to a larger audience. A lot of our vendors have a big local audience, but, you know, nationally or even in any kind of wider scale, I think we're able to kind of help them tap into audiences they may not have had access to. So we have a really great marketing team that will kind of help us get the word out about these vendors. And something I do is write blog posts about each of them that tells the story behind their product. And I think that's a really good way to get the word out and not only educate people about the products, but also about Native communities in general.
And so what changes when you move things online, as opposed to maybe being in a booth or somebody walking in your store? What kind of things change?
Sure. So we have always been online, so I can't really speak for what has personally changed for us. But I think that it just makes things more accessible. If you think about Native communities that may live in more urban areas or even very rural areas, they may not have access to things like Indian corn or wild rice, sweet grass. So it helps make those products accessible for everyone.
And so introduce us to some of the people who are vending online. What are some of the things you find when you go to the Sweetgrass Trading Company?
Sure. We work with probably 20 or so vendors. Some that I'll mention are Wooden Knife Rye Bread Mix. That's out of South Dakota. We also work with a company, and I hope I'm saying the name correctly, Hypatzaza Fezuta. They're owned by a Lakota couple from Washington, and they sell wellness products like bath bombs and shampoos and soaps. We also work with Seca Hills. That's out of here in Northern California. They're owned by the Yolcha Dehe Wintun Nation, and they sell high-quality olive oil. Another one would be Ramona Farms. That is owned by a farmer in Zacaton, Arizona, and they offer heirloom corn and bean products.
And so you said you get into the nitty-gritty of people's stories or these different organizations. And tell me a little bit of what you've discovered after you go beyond just the product.
Sure. So I think one of my favorite examples is Wooden Knife Fry Bread Mix. It's Mr. Ansel Wooden Knife is the owner. And the story behind that one is really cool because his mom started selling the fry bread mix out of the back of her Cadillac in the 70s on the reservation. And it became so popular, they started packaging it. And they were featured on Food Network, and they sold out within, like, hours. So it's little things like that that, you know, you might see this fry bread mix. Like, I grew up in Southeast Nebraska. I saw this fry bread mix on the shelves. I never had any idea that there was that kind of, like, a legacy. And these, a lot of these products, they tell the story of the people who own these companies. And I think that's really important when it comes to indigenous food and indigenous products, is that they tell our story. They're so much more than just the product themselves.
And so we know many things have changed because of the pandemic. A lot of people who maybe never bought online, they're, you know, being introduced to it in a new way. And what are some of the things that you have witnessed with the things going on? Is there a surge in people buying more products online? What would you like to say, Molly?
Yeah, we're very blessed that, you know, we have seen a surge of people shopping online, you know, because people are staying home. And especially recently because of holiday shopping. So we're very lucky in that sense. Some of the issues that we've faced are mostly, I would say, in packaging. You know, the product is there, but the vendor isn't able to get the packaging due to COVID outbreaks in some of the factories and these companies. So we've just tried to remain patient and, you know, just remind our customers that these are really weird times. There's not a lot we can do except for wait it out. Another example would be we sold some rice from Red Lake, Minnesota, and they have shifted to just offering that rice only to community members because they want to focus on taking care of their community members first, which is very important. So I think the biggest takeaway during all of this is just that we have to be flexible and patient and do our best to just wait this out, honestly.
And you know, if we take a look at trading and its tradition within our Native communities, it goes back many generations and even great distances. I always enjoy hearing about some of the trade routes and just, you know, where certain products got to certain areas. So this concept traditionally isn't, you know, brand spanking new. This is what Indigenous people have done to survive. And Molly, how does what you're doing with Sweetgrass kind of mirror some of those ancestral trading ties?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I think that it is kind of part of revitalizing that culture and those traditions. You know, we're the Winnebago tribe, and we work with these other tribes it's kind of I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine sort of thing, you know. We get their product, we help them out. It's a mutually beneficial relationship, and it's a good way for us all to come together and work for one common cause. And at the end of the day, that's, you know, being stewards of the land and stewards of the earth. So I think that this, again, is just kind of revitalizing those traditions that have been here forever.
And so if we are to take advantage of online shopping, Molly, any do's or season letter, are there coupons? Any way you'd like to share about how shopping?
I'm sorry, you cut out. I think you were asking ways to take advantage of online shopping. Is that what you said?
This presidential election grabbed a lot of voters' attention this year, but tribes across the country are also holding their own elections to decide leadership roles. And there are some new faces among some of the familiar names in tribal politics. We're talking tribal elections on the next Native America Calling.
Support for this program is provided by AARP. AARP creates and connects people to unique tools and programs, helps conserve personal resources, and tackles the issues that matter most to individuals, families, and communities. What AARP does might surprise people. For more information and resources, including member benefits, AARP advocacy, and more, go to aarp.org.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and we are focusing on online shopping and creating digital spaces for Native entrepreneurs, creators, and artists to sell their work. Are you a Native business owner or artist who's had to pivot to online sales? Have you had to change the way you shop? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And here with us today is Molly Rowe from Winters, California. She's a spokesperson and account manager for Sweetgrass Trading Company. Thanks for being with us, Molly. And, you know, I was, before the break, wanted to know a little bit about how people can maximize their online shopping. Do you have any tips for us?
Sure. I would say one of the biggest things is to support your community, first and foremost, especially during these tough times. And one way that we do that, as just an example, is by offering free pickup for community members. So if they put in an order online, they can pick up their items for free rather than having to pay for shipping. We also do a discount on shipping, so any order over $25, at that point you don't have to pay for shipping. So.
And Molly, when it comes to online shopping, what are some of the benefits?
I think it's, if you go into a store, sometimes it's overwhelming. And I know that some people feel this about online shopping, but I think you can sit down and take more time. You can come back to it later. You can read more about the product. You can kind of take your time, especially now because amid COVID, you don't want to be spending a lot of time in stores. So I think that's one huge benefit to it that's currently happening.
Well, I appreciate you being here. And folks, if you want to join us too, dial in now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Also want to introduce another voice joining us today out of Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. We have Natasha Martin Mitchell, and she is the Development Officer for Indigenous Women, Entrepreneurs of Women in Business, New Brunswick. And she is Mi'kmaq from the Lhtisikwij First Nation. Natasha, thank you for being with us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And so, Natasha, tell us a little bit about, or what's your view on online shopping?
Especially with COVID, I think that online shopping is the way that we're all pivoting towards. So for us at Women in Business New Brunswick, we knew that we had to help our Indigenous entrepreneurs here in the Atlantic provinces. So we created a website to help them out.
And so, Natasha, tell us a little bit about some of the work you're doing to keep people afloat, you know, especially during the pandemic with online work.
We created a website called Nujintuwiskwadijig Abijig. And it's a website that showcases the arts and talents of Indigenous women entrepreneurs here in New Brunswick.
And so, Natasha, tell us a little bit about, when we turn to online, what changes?
When we decided to help our Indigenous women entrepreneurs here in New Brunswick, we wanted to showcase their art and talent, and creating the website allows people across Canada to see all the work that these entrepreneurs are doing. So we launched our website last Tuesday, and in 1 week, we have had over 38,000 views to the website. So we're pretty excited about the exposure that these women are getting from New Brunswick.
And so, this pandemic hit us, and so people are having to learn new skills with technology, and technology, sometimes it does what it wants to. Natasha, how are you helping people who are new to all of this navigate?
Well, our oldest client or artist that we have on our website is 83 years old. And I've been working with her. She will be new to our website coming this by end of this week. And we're working together by calling her, walking her through how to send me her photos so that we can upload that into the website for her. So we are initially taking photos of their products, talking to them about different prices, and uploading that into our website for them and making that connection between the buyer and the seller.
And so how does it all work? If a person goes to your portal, what happens next?
So when you visit our website, NugentuiScottijigAVJ, we have it categorized into different sectors. So you'll have different categories of different products. So, for example, on our website, we have basket makers, we have quill makers, we have a lot of various beadwork, different services that are offered, seal skin products, soaps. We just have a variety and a different various different items on the website. So you would visit our website, look at the different things that are on the website, such as the beadwork, basket making, the quill work, the beadwork. And when you choose a product that you like, it brings you to the artist page. So on their page, we have a brief description of who they are, where they're from, how long they've been creating their arts and crafts, and their contact information. So Women at Business, we are just providing the platform to connect the buyer and the seller. So we are not involved in any kind of monetary transactions. That remains between the buyer and the seller. So, and since the website has launched, all of the 16 entrepreneurs that are on our website have written to me and told me that the positive feedback that I've received is amazing. Some of these ladies said that they haven't been able to sell any of their products since this summer. So having the website has really helped them, and they're beyond grateful for our connecting with them and providing this free service to them.
And like we heard earlier from Molly, there are stories behind these products. What are some things you've learned about people, or why they've even jumped in to this business or are offering it to the public? Tell me more.
So after speaking with the artists, you know, most of them work full-time jobs, and a lot of them, you know, were just beading on the side. And when I contacted them and asked them if they were interested in joining our website, some of them felt like they didn't have something that they could sell. So after a little bit of prompting and a little bit of encouragement, they said, you know, well, let's try it and see what happens. And most of those people have come back to me and said they're so thankful that I prompted them and I pushed them and I encouraged them to do it. And, you know, some of them are selling products all across Canada. And they said that they had never imagined somebody would be interested in things that they were creating. So it's really nice, and I'm humbled to be helping them. And, you know, my belief is, as a matriarch, you know, we're supposed to lift each other up. And I believe that this website is doing that for them.
And so earlier we heard too from Molly, her take on how things are, and checking in with you. Have you noticed, or have you heard from the people who are participating, a surge in online purchases?
Goodness, this morning I was contacted by just two of the entrepreneurs on the website, and they just said they're so surprised that they're all the comments that they're receiving about their work. And most of the ladies on the website have actually sold out of products that they had, and now they're receiving custom orders. So they're really grateful, and they said that they're really busy. But they wouldn't change it.
And for you, Natasha, where is it that, you know, we here we are in a season where a lot of people are buying different items, and then maybe they're having access to things they never could have in the past. Anything you want to share on that?
Absolutely. I have a colleague that works with export and international trade, and she is working on a peer-to-peer on a peer-to-peer program with Germany and France. So she's been sharing our website with clients from Germany and France, and they are contacting my colleague saying how great the website is and how wonderful it is that they're able to access these types of products when they, you know, they've never had that opportunity before. So it's, you know, it's really, we're really grateful to see those connections happening.
And so where do people get a hold of this great hub of, I guess I want to call it trade too. Go ahead.
You can contact us at nujintuiskadijig.ca or through women or through the Women in Business New Brunswick website. It's on their front, on our main page. So you can go to that website and connect with us there.
Okay. And, you know, that's also an invitation to you, too. If you are providing another hub for people to do some online trading, a.k.a. online shopping, give us a call. Join the conversation. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Also here, too, is Molly Rowe. And Molly definitely wanted to give you a moment, too, if people want to connect with the Sweetgrass Trading Company. How do they get a hold of you?
Our website is sweetgrasstradingco.com.
Okay, and there you go. Two places to experience some of these things. What are your thoughts? I really would like to hear from you when it comes to online shopping. You know, I was raised by elders who need to see the whites of their eyes of who they're giving their money to. You know, are you an elder? How do you gel to all of this online shopping? Tell me about it. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Also here, too, out of Utah is Letitia Redhouse, and she is in the Intertribal Agricultural Agriculture Council American Indian Foods Program Director, and she is Navajo. Our pleasure to have her here. Miss Redhouse, welcome.
Hi, yes, God,
good to have you here. And Latasha, what would you like to share about the American Indian Foods Program and how it's making way for online shopping?
Sure, yes. Thank you. And it's kind of nice to have another panelist whose name's kind of similar or resembles yours. That's got to be a mouthful. But the Intertribal Agriculture Council's American Indian Foods Program, we shifted efforts towards the creation of regionalized and stylized food boxes that contained that contains American Indian food products. And that when I'm talking about American Indian foods and talking about producers that are members of our program, and we created these boxes that we are now sharing pretty much domestically all across the U.S. We are teaming up with different native-led or native-organized events where these organizers can give out these native food boxes that have these ingredients or food products that are sourced from producers in our program. And so that's kind of our switch to this online world to try to really create that promotional and marketing effort for the producers carrying the Made Produced by American Indian Foods trademark. And we also have a directory where consumers can go and just look through and find different producers all across the U.S. And these producers aren't just one part of one industry. They're all coming from different backgrounds, from local gardens to chocolates to blueberries to olive oil. So it's just been a really neat time for all of our producers as we are all trying to transition and pivot to this new normal of e-commerce and utilizing digital platforms to really connect with consumers all across the world.
Well, you know, maybe you've made some of these connections. You can call us too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. You know what? I got a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and We're going to go to break first. But before we do, I do want to invite you into this conversation. If there's anything you'd like to share, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Our focus is online shopping. And, you know, we know a lot of people took to the internet yesterday because of certain savings that were going on with Cyber Monday. Maybe you just want to tell us about your experience. What are some of the things you learned from heading online to do your shopping? What about the experience of even getting food? We just heard from our guest about connecting Native people with foods in this way. What would you like to share? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And also, business owners, if you are out there and you'd like to share some information, go ahead and give us a call. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And you know what? If you have some questions, maybe you are turning your business to more of an online kind of thing and you need a little advice, well, we have people here on the line who have some knowledge about it, who have been practicing it. You can ask away. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We look forward to your calls, questions, and again, looking for your stories and experiences with online shopping. Maybe you're going to do some later today and you need some advice on how to navigate, call in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And you can also tweet it. Our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Stay tuned. There is more ahead here on Native America Calling. Stay tuned.
If you're hurting in your relationship and want to talk, Strongheart's Native Helpline is a confidential and anonymous domestic violence helpline for Native Americans available at 1-844-762-8483 or connect with a live advocate by using the Chat Now button at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer support and referrals for resources daily, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time. This program supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are talking about online retail today. There is still time to join our conversation. We're at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And before the break, we met LaTashia Redhouse. She is the Intertribal Agricultural Council American Indian Foods Program Director, and she is Navajo. Our pleasure to have her here. And LaTashia, you know, just knowing that there are so many people who are coming to one hub and they're getting access to Native food producers that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's just a really unique time for producers or just business owners now. You know, I think It's a nice way or a great way for business owners to interact and build a larger consumer base and probably reignite some interest from audiences that they might have never really tapped into. We are seeing that. You know, the past couple of years, we've always been kind of, we knew that there was a trend of e-commerce and online retail was kind of like the trend in the past year. So it's really nice that a lot of the producers that have kind of jumped on to that and started building their website. And now we're kind of really pushed into this world of digital commerce. It's been a really unique time. A lot of our producers have been able to tell their story. Again, like connect and build their audience and consumer base. So, just loving this movement. It's a great time to be a business owner, I'm sure, but there are the downsides to it. But having these hubs and different listings where consumers can go and find Native producers or Native businesses, I think is really beneficial in helping create that awareness.
Well, thank you for helping create some of it with us today, too. You know what? Let's go ahead and go to our phone lines. We have Melvin in Santee, Nebraska, tuned in on KZYK. Melvin, thanks for reaching out. Go ahead. You're on air.
Yeah, good morning. You know, not having a powwow season this year really devastated a lot of our craftspeople and, you know, their income. And a lot of businesses went down. Some survived. One of the ladies, young ladies that I work with has a group called Wampum Magic, and they sell wampum beads and wampum jewelry, beautiful stuff. And the other group is Native Coffee Traders Association, where they sell only organic coffees. They only buy from indigenous communities, and it's all organic. One of our top sellers is Sunrise Warrior and Black Medicine. Great coffees. I hope everybody can get a chance to try it and check out Wampum Magic. They're both online, wampummagic.com, Native Coffee Traders Association.com.
Well, Melvin, thanks for pointing those out. And I know all those coffee drinkers, their ears perked up when they heard that one, too. Thanks for calling in, Melvin. Let's go ahead and stay with our phone lines. We have Tashina on the line in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. Thanks for calling, Tashina. You're on air.
Yes, hello. I haven't really ever shopped online, let alone like Native-owned businesses. And so, like, just recently, I catch myself, like, throwing down websites in my notes and trying to get, you know, all the Native-owned business websites down so I can order from them. So I think that, you know, this online order movement or online ordering purchasing is really a good thing. And I am one that definitely has been purchasing from various websites, and I love it. I love that I have access to them.
Well, thanks for telling us a little bit about it. We're going to keep rolling through our Native Nations. We have Maria in Arizona listening in online. Maria, thanks for calling. Go ahead. You're on air.
Oh, good morning. I was just wanting to call in to definitely promote Native American businesses, especially online, because it benefits our communities overall. And our foods are delicious and nutritious. We grow three types of tepary beans, three types of wheat. We have garbanzo beans as well. And it's just, it's phenomenal. They're really some powerhouse foods, and we love, you know, getting out there and teaching people about better nutrition, because we're so far removed from our natural diets that it's integral that we get back to good eating habits.
Yep, we can all use help with that. And Maria, say the name of the business and where people can connect with it.
We are Ramona Farms, Ramona's American Indian Foods. We are online at ramonafarms.com. But we also have a store here at our office for those that are locals that can stop by and visit. Yeah, so come on out.
Well, thanks for checking in with us. And we'd like you to check into your online shopping experience as a consumer or even a business owner. 1-800-996-2848 is how you get into this conversation. I'm going to continue to grow it. We are going to bring in another voice joining us today. Out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, is Dr. Lee Francis IV. He is the owner of Red Planet Books and Comics and also the CEO and publisher of Native Realities. And he is from the Pueblo of Laguna. Our pleasure to have him here. Lee, thank you for joining us for another Native America Calling.
Thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be here and to chat with you and to listen to everybody.
Isn't it nice? And Lee, tell us a little bit about Red Planet. Have you had to switch things because of the pandemic and more online things going on? Tell me about it.
Absolutely. When we started, the original publishing company with Native Realities was only online, and you know, it operated out of my home office because that's all we had. We didn't have a brick and mortar store. When we opened up Red Planet in 2017, we were able to expand, and then we were focused on building around community, so our local Albuquerque Native community to come on in to just be indigeners. Because Red Planet is still the only Native comic shop in the world, although we also carry books and other stuff, games, toys, collectibles, et cetera. But, you know, that's all changed. I mean, we went into lockdown in March. That meant the doors were closed. We've opened back up a little bit under the state's restrictions, but we see like one person at a time. That's all you can get in the store, and we disinfect. So moving online was really the way that to survive, right? And I think as Native folks, we've always been really good at that, right? This survival, this welded to our DNA at this point. So I think so many of us were able to adapt and survive so quickly, and we followed suit. And actually, it's turned out to be really, I think, like most everybody's been talking about, quite a benefit, quite a blessing for us to be able to offer these types of things for folks that can't get to us anymore. You know, we just had a recent lockdown just right before the holidays, and we have all sorts of people that were picking up, you know, their comic books, and we have what we call pull lists where they get a box of comics and things that they want to pull each month or every week. And we hit them up immediately being like, "Hi guys, the doors are closed. So we're just going to ship these out to you for free because you're customers for us, right?" So, you know, that's where we've been. We've had to, you know, kind of take that. But I think it's been really very, very positive, and it's really been very beneficial for us to be able to do that outreach. We've really broadened our scope.
And so, Lee, knowing that things have had to change, you know, as a business owner, you have to be ready for kind of anything that comes at you. You know, life is a live animal. And just any thoughts about, you know, things maybe you did as a business owner that kind of prepared you for all of this?
Yeah, I think you just kind of have to jump into it. I think the only thing that prepared me was being a business owner that had no idea what he was doing. You know, I had written, I knew the publishing industry when we got started with publishing. And then I was like, I'm going to start a bookstore. I liked bookstores. I've worked in retail, but I hadn't ever run a bookstore. So I think it's that adaptation and the brilliance of all of our Native peoples and communities of seeing these opportunities. And I think to what a lot of folks were talking about, you know, all the previous guests is I think what prepared me for this is also how to, you know, to remember community, because that's what's been able to sustain us. And I think that's the way that we will continue to survive through the effects, the current effects of this pandemic, as well as the after effects, because that's, we're still going to have to see what the rest of this looks like, how those cards fall. So I think the only way that we do this is together. It's not these big box, big internet sites, you know, it's how do we support each other? I am so excited because I've got, you know, four new businesses to check out, which is really cool for me because, you know, you see a lot of stuff on social media, you know, but I'm like, okay, so how do I support these folks as a consumer myself, but also as a business? How can I support everybody in these efforts? Because I think that's what we have to do, you know, as Native folks, as Indigenous peoples in North America. You know, it's about how do we support our communities? How do we support each other? I think that's what, knowing that at my core, how I was raised has prepared me to be able to adapt to all of these things, because I know at the end of the day, I'm doing this for our peoples, and I'm hopefully doing it in collaboration with all of these wonderful other entrepreneurs.
Well, thanks for sharing a little bit of that. You know what? We got another caller. We are going to hear now from Jake in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Jake, thanks for reaching out. Go ahead. What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, I just want to echo what Lee was talking about. I've known Lee for years and consider him a mentor. And those values are really why we created this site called Indigi Exchange. I teach a financial and business basics course to Native American families, and we wanted to give them a marketplace where they could showcase their artwork, but we wanted to pay them upfront, right? We wanted to give them the tools and knowledge and resources that they need to create a website. So when they go to our website, they could find people and go to their other marketplace. We're also exploring this idea of collective marketing, right? We are stronger together, and the more that we rep each other's businesses and we teach each other about pricing and, you know, price lists and ways to even do drop shipments and ways to be able to be seen online is so important in these times. So we really created a different approach, you know, to creating a marketplace where we wanted to pay Native artists upfront, have them determine the price that we buy from them, and then have them determine, you know, what we sell their items for. So it's been pretty incredible. And we learned a lot of things along the process. I'm actually going to the mailbox now to send out some packages. And we see that that's a really crucial need for Native artists and entrepreneurs is just a team, right? We're all solo entrepreneurs, so we need to work together. And I think that's inherently a core value that we share as Indigenous people. So thank you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you for giving us a ring, Jake. And Lee, when it comes to making the purchase, sometimes you have to download a new app, learn a new system. Any advice on navigating some of the pay side of things, or just words of encouragement for people who are saying, another app?
I think most of the stuff that we try to do, and I think everybody tries to do, is to make it user-friendly. And, you know, website friendly. So it's really easy to point and click. If you need more options, there's deeper ways to go into it. But when I'm setting up our website, the whole idea is you can just scroll through, put big pictures up there. You know, I'm poking around on the internet, listening to everybody, and I'm seeing all the everybody's website stores. And I was just like, oh, this is so easy. Look, that looks delicious. And ooh, I want some of that. And I'd like to see more of this. So I think the internet and I think the online shopping system has made it easier to be able to make that for customers. And if you're, you know, looking on the back end to start something, a lot of it's just so plug and play these days. So I think that's one of the things that's really been helpful in this expansion of entrepreneurship is focus on entrepreneurship, small businesses, little micro, you know, whatever. Is the way that you take some good pictures, put your stuff up there, and when you find it, you can link it to all your friends, when you put it up there, you can link it to all your friends, or if you find it, you can link it to all your friends, and it's, you know, and for all of our folks out there, it's just, most of the time, it's just a point and click, so.
And so, Lee, of course, if people do want to connect with what's going on with Red Planet, tell us more.
Yeah, you can find us online at Red Planet Books and Comics. It's not Books and. We don't have an ampersand, so it's booksandcomics.com. You can find us there. We got, you know, there's all sorts of it's just some great stuff. We like to support Native comic book artists. We create our own stuff. We have, you know, games. We have anything to feed your indigenous nerd side. That's the stuff that we post. And really to try and continue to get, like everybody else is doing, like all of our wonderful, you know, all the previous guests are talking about is like all of the stuff that people don't necessarily think about or know about. Like, you know, we do the same thing for books. We're like, there's so many great books out there that have been written by Native folks. You don't need to go buy one necessarily from the non-Native person because there's probably one that's written by a Native person and we have it at the shop. So, you know, take a look. It's fun, you know, and in anything, you get to see some fun comics and some really cool stuff.
Well, Lee Francis, a pleasure to reconnect. And thank you to all of the people who we had on our program today, giving us more insight into what happens when people are clicking online, connecting with artists and other business owners. And maybe you tuned in late, but you have a business you wanted to just bring attention to. You can always tweet your thoughts to us. We're curious to see how people are jumping into this circle, whether it be as a consumer or as a business owner. You can always tweet things to us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And thank you to everybody we heard from, Molly Rowe, Leticia Redhouse, Natasha Martin Mitchell, and Dr. Lee Francis IV. We hope you will join us again tomorrow for a discussion about tribal elections. I'm Tara Gatewood. Thank you for spending your time with us today here on Native America Calling. That's also our website where you can find more about us. Thanks again. We'll meet you here tomorrow.
Bonjour. Keep your family and community safe this flu season. Get your flu shot and encourage others to get theirs. Contact your local Indian healthcare provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
The Indian Arts and Crafts Act protects authentic American Indian and Alaska Native artists and craftspeople and their art and craftwork. Under the Act, it is illegal to market art or craftwork misrepresented as American Indian, Indian, Native American, or Alaska Native made, or as the product of a particular Indian tribe. Reporting potential Act violations can be done at doi.gov/IACB or at 1-888-ART-FAKE. Support provided by Indian Arts and Crafts Board.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.